The government says it will now guarantee 300 spots a month in managed isolation for people in the health and disability sectors. Those groups of workers who are urgently needed in this country currently have to compete for scarce MIQ spaces with other travellers. Andrew Stapleton, a spokesperson for the Australian and New Zealand Intensive Care Society, says it's a step, but not enough, to resolve workforce shortages. Andrew joins us now. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Corin.
Okay, so a step, but what do you need to actually fully address this?
Well, we've been arguing that we need a centralised process that is looking across the whole of the barriers to getting ICU nurses particularly and specialists into the country. And so that requires one agency to take control of this issue, to advertise, to interview, to sort out visas, to get nurses through MIQ and into the country.
Can the ministry not do that?
We haven't seen that to date. So even though there are now approval to recruits, which means DHBs have permission to recruit ICU nurses, it's a matter of DHBs all over the country now competing with each other to get nurses into their ICUs.
Right. Are you putting that to those structural issues aside, and that's being dealt with, isn't it, with a shake-up of the health system?
Yeah.
Will you actually find these ICU nurses overseas? I mean, every country in the world presumably is looking for them.
That's true to some extent. There are many overseas New Zealand nurses who are currently overseas, and you've seen the Australian government say, we need our nurses back, so we'll pay them $4,700 in relocation costs. Please come home. I'd like to see that sort of initiative for our current Kiwi nurses who are overseas. And I also believe there are a lot of nurses overseas who would relish the prospect of coming to work in New Zealand, pandemic or not, because we seem like an attractive prospect right now.
So relocation grants of some sort for New Zealand nurses to bring them back?
Yeah, a package of steps, that being one of them. That's right, Corin.
Could you explain to me, where are you at? I mean, we've had the health minister this morning arguing that there is the training has been done for nurses for ICU. We are ready. We've got the surge capacity. Some on the ground at ICU facilities are saying no, they disagree with the minister's figures. What is the situation here? Are you confident that we do have everybody we need right now?
So as to the figures, ANZACs have put out their figures last week, and I think the back and fro with exactly what we've got is probably not adding anything much at this point. We don't have many nurses. We don't have many beds compared to everyone else. That's well established. And we have a surge workforce who are being trained across the country to try and help if we get overwhelmed.
Right. Can you explain that to me? This is something that came up with Andrew Little as well. So we've got a situation where in a worst-case scenario, where we're throwing it's all hands to the deck, basically, and you will use potentially non-trained ICU staff who have had a little bit of training as part of a team. They'd be supervised by someone who does. Is that how you cope?
Yes, that's right. You put nurses or anaesthetic technicians or anaesthetists at the bedside, and you have an ICU nurse who's immediately proximate to them, but supervising one surge nurse per bed, perhaps, and she might be supervising the ICU nurse two or three beds, and therefore you increase your capacity to look after ICU patients that way.
Right. So I suppose you're not going to necessarily get the absolute gold-plated standard care you might have in ordinary times, but these are not ordinary times.
That's true. We have world-class outcomes in New Zealand normally for intensive care. Other jurisdictions who've been forced to move to this model of care, which is most, to be fair, have seen that the outcome is approximately half as good in those circumstances.
How do you think the management, we're hearing about 120 nurses have come across into Auckland since the start of the August Delta outbreak. Is that something that's going to need to be looked at further as this carries on? If there is a surge in Auckland, we've still got elimination across the country in South Island, you'll bring more up?
Yep, that's one strategy, yes. So, and it depends on the numbers, doesn't it? So they're talking about high hundreds. So let's look at that. So if you had a 1,000 patients a day, all of whom were vaccinated, that would be three ICU patients a day. They stay in ICU for 2 weeks each. That's about 42 patients in Auckland ICUs at any time. Now, with the surge workforce, with Auckland having about 75 ICU beds, we could cope with that, although it would be damn hard work. Now think that those 1,000 patients a day are unvaccinated. That's 30 to 100 patients coming to ICU a day. That's the difference between being vaccinated and not, and we couldn't cope with that.
So what would we do then?
Well, we would move patients around the country ultimately until the ICU capacity was being shared out, and we would employ the crisis or the surge capacity nursing until we'd used every last possible ventilator and staff member.
What do you make of what's going on in New South Wales and Victoria? They have, you know, in the hundreds in ICU, so in New South Wales, that's towards the end of their outbreak, 500 or so cases a day. Would you say they have coped with those sort of levels of where they had, well over 1,000 a day?
It just depends how you define cope.
That's right.
It's way out of normal circumstances. Outcomes won't be as good. They have the benefit of twice as many beds per 100,000 population, even more in New South Wales, actually, and an excellent transport system to quickly move them around the country or around the state, and that's how they're dealing with it. But there's plenty of stories on social media and in the Age newspaper about the stresses and strains on the system there at the front line.
So, just finally, where do you sit in it when it comes to lying awake at night? Would you like to see tighter restrictions in Auckland, or are you comfortable with this slow, careful sort of progress when it comes to lifting restrictions, or does that make you nervous?
Well, from a healthcare professional point of view, what I care about is preventable deaths. And so we must vaccinate until the models are showing us that the system can cope with what happens when we open up. And there's two parts to that. There's the prevention part, that's the vaccination, and then there's the capacity part. And I would like to see a lot more emphasis and money, frankly, spent on the capacity part so that we can open up earlier as vaccination.
Can you give me a quick example of where some of that money could go?
So I would say we need centralised advertising. We need to vigorously recruit a board for ICU nurses. I think we need to train up. We need to get all nurses who are prepared to be trained as ICU nurses in New Zealand trained in ICU. They should be there every day of the week at the moment. And we should backfill them with all the graduate nurses who are coming through the nursing education program.
Andrew, thank you very much for that. Andrew Stapleton there, a spokesperson for the Australian and New Zealand Intensive Care Society.